thank you for joining us for another powerful message from the teaching ministry of Destiny Church. We hope that you'll be challenged and stretched to grow through today's message. But most of all, we hope that you'll encounter the Father's love. If you're in the greater Mobile Bay Area, please join us for our weekend worship celebration. Or if you're looking for a church family excited for a revival, please come join us in bringing heaven to earth.
This series, this is the last message. I think this is the last message in this series today. And in your Bibles, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 1. Many of you who have been in church all your life, you are super familiar with Acts chapter 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, where Holy Spirit's poured out. And today is Pentecost Sunday. It's a holiday, a holy day for us, so to speak, because 50, Pentecost is when 50 days after Passover, after the resurrection and death of Jesus, God poured his Spirit out on the church. And in that upper room in Acts chapter 2 is where there was a supernatural occurrence that happened. Now, I don't know that a lot of people, I know it. I don't know if you know it. I know it. I don't know if you know it. I know it, but I don't know if you know it. But this church, I'm talking about this local expression of the body of Jesus Christ at 28328 County Road 13 in Daphne, Alabama, on the Gulf Coast in this region, just a stone's throw from the Bay of the Holy Spirit. This church is a special church.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't know if you know that. I don't know if people who've been coming here for years, I don't know if you know that. This is a special church because our core values that we have, there are seven of them. If you don't know them, you can pick them up right outside in a bookmark form. You can find them on our website and all that kind of jazz. But the very first core value that we have is that we expect and we embrace the supernatural. We expect it and we embrace it. Like, for real, if we came to church and there's no expression of Holy Spirit, what was our purpose? We're not a club, so we're not here to make people comfortable because we're not a club. We're here to call you to be courageous enough to see what needs to be changed, as James tells us. I think it's James 1:22, somewhere along there. But we look in the mirror, we see what needs to be changed, and to have the courage to change. And I'm telling you what, man, this church is a special place because of many things, but that one thing, that one thing, that we expect the supernatural and we embrace it.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think that we all expect it, but I do. And I know there's more than just me. I don't think we all embrace it. And that's, I guess, okay for a while. Because I didn't embrace it when I first started experiencing the supernatural. I thought those people were stone cold, berserk cult followers. They were just the weirdest folks that I'd ever seen because I was unfamiliar with it. I was completely uneducated in anything spiritual. And what I saw going on, I didn't have a framework to process it. But through community, as I stayed at that church, I began to learn and trust people. I began to understand people and how they operated in their supernatural gifts, and then I begin to embrace it. And I remember that night at that revival, that if you were here when I called us to worship this morning, I remember when I came down and I'm like, I don't know what's about to happen when I came down, but I was on this side of the room and I came down here and I was so ready for what I had been experiencing in this little Pentecostal church. And when he laid hands on me, I don't remember a whole lot more. I just remember that Holy Spirit came upon me. I began to speak in tongues. And I don't remember a whole lot more after that. But I'm just telling you, man, the power of God came upon me. And I know me. I'm not looking to fake something. I'm not looking to, as a matter of fact, I won't go into it deep. Well, I won't even go into it at all. It'll just take me off in a different direction. But we embrace it. We expect the supernatural. Have you ever thought about this? What language would you think in if you had never been born into an English culture? If you were born in French, think about this. What if you were deaf and you couldn't hear any? Like, what if? So if you're deaf, think about this. If you're deaf, you've never heard anybody speak English. You've never heard anybody speak French. You've never heard anybody speak German. What do those people speak? Well, they don't speak French. They don't speak English. They speak in concepts. Do you know that we all spoke one language at one point in time? Scripture shows us at the tower that they were building in Babel that everybody spoke the same languages, but because their motives were impure and they sought to try to build this tower to the kingdom of heaven, really their goal was, hey, if you can live there, we can live there, you know? Because of that, God confused the languages. To me, it's fruitless to try to explain to people the whole thing about speaking in tongues. We really boil down being spirit-filled man, I'm just telling you, when I was growing up, they were a bit out of balance. And if you were talking about being spirit-filled, baptized in the Holy Spirit, what they really mean is, have you spoken in tongues? And tongues is an evidence. Tongues is an evidence of the Holy Spirit. But I know people, really, in Acts chapter 1, the scripture tells us that we'll be empowered by the Holy Spirit to be witnesses. So really, the fruit is, how effective are we as witnesses? Billy Graham never professed to speak in tongues. But I'm just telling you, if you want to know a modern-day Paul and an evangelist, Billy Graham is the one, Reinhard Bonnke, you know, these guys. But Billy Graham never professed to be baptized in the Holy Spirit as we know that, as we understand that. I'm telling you what, he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, what he did is humanly impossible for him not to be. And then I've seen people, quote, baptized in the Holy Spirit. They spoke in tongues, like Paul said, more than anybody else in the church. But they lived about the most godless life. They were a horrible reflection of God's glory. But they had speak in tongues, you know. And it's not like, man, the point being is the tongues thing has been so confused. And this is what I believe. And I believe that there's evidence for it. But it's one of the greatest weapons that we have against Holy Spirit, because in Ephesians chapter 6, put on the full armor of God. Breastplate of righteousness, shoes of peace, belt of truth, helmet of salvation. You get it. And then there's one that we leave off just because it's not named by a metaphor. So there's no. Well, I'm just telling you, whenever I look at Israel and they've got that dome, you know what I'm saying? It's like the invisible dome. It's really not an invisible dome, but that is in Ephesians chapter 6, after it lists all of the weapons, there's a secret weapon. And he says, and pray in the Spirit at all times. I don't know if I have that anywhere in my slides, but I'm going to read it to you. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 through 20 says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. So pray in the Spirit. So after you put on the breastplate of righteousness and sword of the Spirit and all these, the very last one, he says, and pray in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. That is a secret weapon that you and I have. I'll get into like the power of that in a few minutes. So the most powerful weapon that we have as believers, if it is being baptized in the Holy Spirit, it only makes sense for the enemy to assault, to degrade, to almost that gift, embroil it in so much controversy and misconception, to discredit it. I was talking to somebody recently, and they were telling, as a matter of fact, it was Jason, and Jason was telling me, he said he had connected with a friend from a few years back, and so there's a period of time where they moved from North Alabama South Alabama, and they had gotten out of church, not in a bad way, but they had just weren't going to church, couldn't find a church for them. And he was telling them he's gotten back into church, telling them about our church. And the guy, now listen, I don't know the full length of all of their conversation, I just know what Jason gave me. He said, instead of like, man, dude, that's awesome, proud of you, the dude's expression to his, I'm back in church, we found us a good church, love it. His response was, hey, just watch out if it's one of those tongue-talking churches. Hey, I'm just telling you, man, like I've seen people get up and walk out if there's an expression of the Holy Spirit because it doesn't fit into their paradigm of who God is. See, I'm of the understanding that God is bigger than me. I'm of the understanding that I serve a God that is so far superior to my peanut-sized understanding and brain. I don't know how they land a space shuttle, shoot it up in the air and, all that, and they put people out and put people on the moon and all of these different kinds of things. My brain is not, I'm telling you, man, we'd be in a cave huddled around a fire, and we might not even have discovered yet how to make fire if I was in charge of survival. I don't know how to do those things, but there are people who are so smart. I don't understand it. I don't understand how they can make something come through the orbit, and it's got to come through a window, an invisible window, at just the right time, or it'll sling off, out in orbit somewhere. I don't understand that. How are people that smart? And that comes nowhere close to the infinite wisdom of our God. Man, I'm telling you what, if we have to shrink God down so we can understand him, I'm telling you, there are things about God that I don't even understand right now. It doesn't shake my faith in God. It makes me wonder in awe at how incredible our God is. But this is a doctrine of the church that the enemy has targeted with discrediting and misunderstanding. And, people completely believe this. So going back to that, man, Jason had the best answer for him. His text said, hey man, just be careful. Watch out if it's one of those tongue-talking churches. You just need to watch out for them because tongues ceased. I'm like, Jesus, I don't even see how people are. I'm just going to say this. If you believe this, you're probably fixing to be offended. I don't even see how people are that dumb to believe, to understand that from the text that we're reading, because he says there will come a time. What he's talking about is the verse says, you can go read it for yourself in Ephesians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I believe it is. It might be 13. Yes, 13, I believe. But 12, 13, and 14, that's your go-to when it comes to spiritual gifts. You want to focus on those three chapters of Scripture. And so, as he's saying, watch out because tongues cease. Well, what he's talking about, Paul is talking to the Corinthian church. And he's talking to them about the supernatural gifts. And what was happening is they were operating in the gifts, but they were not operating in order or wisdom. Anybody seen that before? Man, I've seen it, I've witnessed it, I've done it before, you know? And it's okay, because as we're growing in the Lord and growing in our supernatural gifts, we will get it wrong from time to time. That's just part of it. You know, practice it. Get up, walk with it. You know, try to ride that thing. You fall down, get back up again. A righteous man falls 7 times and he gets back up 7 times. Amen? So, you know, we're growing in our gifts. So sometimes we'll get it wrong. Sometimes we'll miss it. And it's like, but I promise you, if you keep at it, you'll get better and better and better and better and better. And so what he's talking about, I'm still trying to get this Jason story out, man. What he's talking about, he's talking about where Paul is talking to the Corinthians and he says, listen, I want y'all to operate in order. This is how it works. And there is going to come a time where speaking in tongues is going to cease. And there's going to come a time when prophecy will cease. And there's going to come a time when knowledge will cease. Well, they take that and they run with that. Well, see there, it ceased. It ceased after the first apostles. Here's the thing. It never says that it stopped anywhere in Scripture with the first foundational apostles. It says that nowhere. So going back to this, it says, go read it for yourself. It says there's going to come a time when speaking in tongues is not going to be necessary. Why? Because we ain't going to be speaking English in heaven. We ain't going to be speaking Portuguese or Spanish or any other language. We're going to be speaking the language of heaven. That's what we're going to be speaking. I don't know what language they speak there, but I got a feeling that God's already got that figured out. He already knows. All right? And so there's going to come a time where we're not going to need that anymore. There's going to come a time where we won't need prophecy anymore. But it says there will come a time when knowledge, you know, you can take that as words of knowledge. Are we at a time where we need knowledge now more than ever? Because there's too much stupidity in our world. Like, you see these people, they're interviewing folks on the street. So why are you protesting? I don't know. Do you know why why? I have no idea. I don't have any knowledge about, I didn't do any due diligence. I'm just here to holler. You know? The church is so much like that. We don't know. We don't know why we believe it. We just believe it. I've had people to tell me things that I'm like, but where is that in Scripture? I don't know, man. I just don't feel right about that. Who cares how you feel? Like, it's not about how you feel. I've been in some situations before where I'm like, I don't know how I feel about this. But I'm mature enough to know, just pause, pray for discernment, and let's just see where this is going. But I'm telling you, my feelings will lead me to some very wrong conclusions. And what happens with us is it leads us to things and we create false doctrine. False doctrine are doctrines of demons. There are churches all over today that are preaching doctrines of demons. There are churches that I know in this very community, I'm not bashing them, I'm telling you the truth, that I have heard their pastors at multiple churches and at least 2 mega churches in our area that have said, we don't allow any of those gifts in our services. They used to. They used to. But somebody somewhere, pastor or board or whoever, came to a decision, we're not going to have prophetic words in service. We're not even going to lay hands on people in service. We're not going to do these different things. We're not going to allow prophetic words. It's just confusing to people. They just have lots of listen, hopefully we'll get to this right here. So they stopped and their churches exploded in growth. They literally shut down the operation of the gifts. And when they shut down, their churches exploded in growth. Now, come on. You tell me what pastor doesn't look at that and go, I'm not saying this to make me look good. It actually probably would make me look bad. I have never once considered doing that. Never once. Hear me. It's not to make me look good, because here comes the bad part. But I have coveted. Like, God, come on. Because I ain't going to do that, God. I ain't going to do that. I will not do that. I'm going to remain true to the calling. I'm going to remain true to the word. I'm going to remain true to that, you know, that core value that I said. We are going to embrace and expect it. And so what if people don't understand it? So what if they stick, if they bond in community, they will find out, God, we're not going to, but why? Yeah. See, that's the covenant's bad part. But that's the humanity. And I'm like, I don't understand it. I personally don't understand it. But I can tell you what, that's why this church is special. Yeah. Remember we started there? Yeah. That's why this church is special. Because we are not going to push the Holy Ghost. We are not going to push Holy Spirit to the back room where he's allowed to come out and play in small groups. Come on, Jesus. We are not going to push him to the back group where only certain people who understand Holy Spirit get to experience him. We're not going to say to Holy Spirit, no, shush, 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 be quiet. We're not going to say to Holy Spirit, hey, you got 14 minutes to operate during worship, and then we're cutting you off. As a matter of fact, you know, I'm grateful for teams that just, you know, we can just go. Like, there's, I don't know, several songs that we didn't even practice today, and they just, it's like, y'all either get it or we'll go a cappella-ish. And, you know, and everybody is so awesome. Nobody, I don't think y'all are ticked off at me. I'll know today if I get an email. but I'm joking. But nobody, because we're all here to say, Holy Spirit, whatever you choose to do, we say yes to that and how you want to move. So everybody trusts, you know, we trust one another. That comes through community. And so, you know, our church is special because we're not going to shame you if you don't operate in this way. I've been a part of those churches. We're not going to push Holy Spirit to the back room. I've never been a part of that church that I know of. We are going to be a place where, hey, this might be a little strange to you. If you don't know where this is in Scripture, go here. If you really want to draw close to him and know more, you'll stick around and you'll go look for it yourself. Because newsflash, I'm not your only source, or whoever's up here preaching is not your only source for spiritual edification and education. Go dig it out, man. You want to know how to fix your sink that's dripping? You whip out a YouTube video. What are you doing? You go look for the information. You want to know more about Holy Spirit? Go look for the information. Find reputable sources. Then have conversations with people. So in Acts chapter 1, where the Spirit is being poured out, I want to just really reiterate where we went and started in this. It's all about the lasting impact. Legacy is a lasting impact of particular past events or actions of a person's life on a person's life. So you have impact, you have influence, you have a legacy that you are leaving for somebody else. A couple of weeks ago, when our ladies were at the retreat, I preached a message on prayer. A lasting legacy of prayer. A legacy of prayer leads someone to a lifetime of victories. I'm telling you what, if you want to see your children succeed, people in your business succeed, Greg, those guys, like, man, lead them to prayer. Pray with them. I'm just telling you, show our kids, future generations, because if you pray, it's leading me to a lifetime of victories, because the scripture says I can ask my Father anything that I want, anything that I have need of, and He provides for me. So that's not just tangible physical things. It means warfare prayers. It means, you know, relational prayers, reconciliation prayers, God help, give me wisdom prayers. God works it out. So what happens is I go to the source of all my resources. So there's not a problem that I have that I don't have a resource that is the source of everything that I need. So I'm guaranteed success. I'm telling you what, that's the best Tony Robbins speech that anybody could ever have. Like, literally, if I can pray, literally, if I know how to get in touch with God, I'm guaranteed success. I'm just telling you, I'm guaranteed success. Now, this is what I want to share with you today. Jesus saves us from hell for heaven, but Holy Spirit empowers us for the here and now. Jesus, He saves us from hell. Woo, Jesus, I'm not going to hell. Thank you, God. He saves us for heaven. I'm going to heaven. So He's got that out of the way. My past is forgiven. But He said, behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. See, we've gotten into this place in the church. I was raised up in this culture. You've heard me say it, and I really love to do this, so just play along with me, okay? I was raised in songs that we sung, sermons that we were preached. Now, you can get by on this for a little while, but you can't do much for the kingdom of God. It's like, you know, oh my God, this world is so bad. Jesus, can you come quickly? Lord, one glad morning when this life is o'er, 'cause it sucks and it's so bad, I'm gonna fly away. It's miserable down here. And we sung songs like that were escapist, like, God, if you'll get us out of here, if I could just hold on. That is not the weak, pathetic church that Jesus Christ died for and sent the Holy Ghost to empower. That is not the church. Jesus said, behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I didn't just save you for heaven. I saved you from hell for heaven. And God is sending His Spirit on the church so that the kingdom of God, you're going to take with you everywhere you go. When you go to work tomorrow or this afternoon, you are going to take Holy Spirit with you and the kingdom of God with you. Somebody needs praying for, pray for them right there. Somebody needs being led to Christ, lead them right there. It comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus saves us from hell for heaven. Holy Spirit empowers us here and now. Here's the sad truth. So many people in the church are not walking empowered. So when somebody needs an answer from Jesus, you ain't got it. You, even if you did have it, you're a coward, and you cower under the intimidation of the enemy, because there's a boldness that comes upon you. Scripture says that when Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power. I don't know about you, but power is powerful. It's like courageous. It's like, where, let's go. It's like, hey, I don't care if I hurt your feelings. Now, it doesn't try to hurt people's feelings. You understand that, right? That's where the church gets it mixed up. Like, oh, Holy Spirit empowers us. We need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so you learn this by being in community, because I'm just telling you, it takes a while for you to get a well-rounded, you know, who was I with? Oh, I think I was with Tony the other night. I don't know if Tony's here today, but I was with Tony the other night. We're sitting in a restaurant, and I was teaching him at this table. Now, we're in community. We're not in a class. We're eating at the Waffle House. There's this lady that comes over, and she's our waitress. Well, we've been going in there. Amy, you know who I'm talking about. Miss Jackie, you know. I didn't know about this, but they had been going into the same Waffle House. And I had been going into this Waffle House. And the Lord gave me a few little things for her, and it wasn't anything substantial. And we went in that night, and they mentioned Miss Marguerite. Now, she's not Spanish, Latina. She's as white and old-fashioned as she can be. But Marguerite, and she waits on our table, and we've just been little bit by little bit by little bit, all right? So we're sitting at our table, and she comes over to us now, and she says to us, now, first go around, she didn't know who I was. I didn't announce myself as a pastor or anything. I never do any of that stuff. Amy gave it away because I went and I ate with them one night, and she said, well, this is our pastor. And so I'm like, great, she blew my cover. All right. So this night, Tony and I are sitting at a table by ourselves, and she comes over, and this is what she says. Now, you understand, this comes after, like, just weeks of community. Just reflect in Jesus, man. Come on. And she says, I want you all to pray for me because I'm having surgery. And she goes into that, and then she just walks away. She just drops it and walks away. And so I'm talking to Tony, and I said, all right, so we're going to pray for her at some point tonight. It's going to be Spirit-led. We just have to see where God wants us to drop it in. And I said, we're going to pray, you know, it's going to be as powerful, because I'm trying to teach them what power looks like. Because, see, some people don't think it's powerful unless it's like this. And I said, it's not going to look powerful, but it's going to be powerful. And I said, because see, I count 9 customers. And there's only 2 of them. I count 9 customers. And those people down there, they just want their eggs. They don't care about no prophetic words. They don't care about no prayer. They don't even care about her surgery. They care about their eggs and their hash browns. All right? And I said, so we can't take up a lot of her time. And I've been with people who they weren't mature. They thought they were. But now you, the Holy Ghost left the prayer already. You know, you're praying. Now we're in 10 minutes of prayer. You're trying to wash the woman's feet, you know. And it's like, dude, Holy Ghost left this a long time ago. What could have been powerful is now awkward. She's fixing to get reprimanded by her boss. So you see what I'm saying? So I'm like, it's going to be powerful. It's not going to look powerful, but it is going to be powerful. How do I know it's going to be powerful? Because the Holy Ghost is inside of me. And whatever comes out of my mouth is going to be soothing to her spirit, to her soul. She comes over, and I said, at some point, I said, hey, let us pray with you right quick. Bada boom, bada bing. And it's over. All right? No, she didn't get even, we didn't even need a catcher at the table for her. She didn't fall in the spirit. She didn't speak in tongues. I mean, I'm just saying, nobody in that restaurant knew we were praying. You know who knew we were praying? The Father of lights, the Lord of love, who gives every good and perfect gift. That's the one. And so he's answering this powerful prayer that doesn't look powerful at all, but it is. And so right there in that moment, the kingdom of God is happening at the Waffle House on a Tuesday night. And I'm telling you what, there's so much powerful, powerful stuff that goes on in your world like that. You need to understand what power looks like. Listen, I'm telling you, I want to walk in the authority of A.A. Allen, you know. Like, I don't need anybody to announce me as apostle. I don't need anybody to announce me as prophet or pastor or any of that stuff. Because I'm saying this very humbly and in the right spirit. That in the spirit realm, when you can't hear. I got some new kicks on today. And they're just like I'm walking on air. But in the spirit realm, it sounds like this. And dude, like for us, when we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, demons, if they had a sphincter muscle, it would be constricting. There would be some tightening up. Because, y'all need a TV preacher. Y'all need a TV preacher. Because I ain't that classy. But I'm telling you what. When you walk into the room, everything changes. Because he walks in the room with you. Are you following me? When you walk into the room, everything changes. Hey, I'm telling you what, we are atmosphere changers. We are not the thermometer, we're the thermostat. When we walk into the room and the enemy hears those, I'm serious, there's a tightening up of like, oh God, what is fixing to happen? I'm not just trying to hype this stuff up. I'm telling you, I truly believe that. And I don't walk into any situations where it's like, yeah, I'm out of my league. Because if I'm out of my league, he's never out of his league. Come on, man. If I'm out of my league, he's never out of his league. And when I walk into the room, he's with me. And I don't have to worry about what's going to happen because he'll tell me. I have that kind of confidence because I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. With power. Look at this. A legacy of power comes from being baptized in the Holy Spirit. A legacy of power. If you want to leave a legacy of power, listen, I want to leave a legacy of power for people. Like, you can live pitiful. I think Joyce Meyer said this. You can live pitiful or you can live powerful, but you can't live both at the same time. You can't live both at the same time. I want people to walk in authority and power. You don't need me to pray for you. I can pray with you, but you can pray for yourself. And your prayer is as powerful and authoritative as my prayer because we got the same blood running through our veins. Amen? And we plead that blood of Jesus. And so in Acts chapter 1, turn there real quick. In Acts chapter 1, this is where it all goes down. In Acts chapter 1, the Holy Spirit is being poured out. I thought it was there. Holy Spirit is being poured out. And right here in Acts chapter 1, this whole section here, right before Jesus had the Last Supper, right before his death, he's talking to him and he says, so all of you guys are going to desert me. And Peter, I love that guy. He's just, man, if I wish I had that kind of courage, man. He's like, these other chumps might, I won't. To the death, man. We are ride or die. Jesus is being like, Peter, shut up. Like, you're going to deny me three. You're going to be worse than all these other guys, man. You're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. And he's like, man, if I die for you. Well, if you look down a little further in Matthew chapter 26, where Jesus tells him that, after they go into the garden and pray, remember that's where I was 2 weeks ago with y'all in leaving a legacy of prayer. What's happening is Jesus is leaving a legacy of prayer. Doesn't look like Peter got it. Because later in chapter 26, he's out and people see him. They recognize that he's been with Jesus. You talk like a Galilean, and three times he denies him. Like, one time it says that he swears an oath. Some translations say, you know, he cursed. But whatever that looked like, he's like, man, I'm telling you, scout's honor. I don't know the guy. I'm not a part, for goodness sake. And then he hears the crow, and he realizes what he did. And I don't know if you've ever failed the Lord in an incredible way. I'm talking about, I mean, we all fall short of the glory of God. But I'm telling you what, I failed him a few times in my life that are incredible failures. And that has followed me my whole life. It has plagued me my whole life. I'm forgiven of it, but the enemy still keeps playing in this old mind. And that is how Peter must have felt. I mean, to know that he told me that I was going to do this, and I was like, not me. And his arrogance, his avarice, not me, man. Those other chumps, they'll let you down, but not me. I'm ride or die. And then to do the very thing that he said he would not do. Think of the failure. Think of the loathing, the self-contempt that he must have had. And Jesus lovingly welcomed him back in, empowered him. And on the day of Pentecost, when the power of God came. So here we got the legacy of prayer. Looks like old royal screw-up Peter messed it up, flubbed it up, didn't get the lesson. And he said, y'all go. Just go to Jerusalem and wait there because the Father's going to send a gift for you. It's going to be the Holy Spirit. I'm going away to prepare a place. I'm on a new assignment, but Holy Spirit is coming now. And he's going to be moving. You guys wait there. They had no clue what he was talking about. They had no clue what it looked like. But when Holy Spirit came, it was such a unique situation. Nobody had experienced. And because they had so many there at the festival in Jerusalem, all right, that what happened on the day of Pentecost, these people are like, they're experiencing this and they're going like, how is it that people don't speak our language or speaking our language? Like, how is this happening? There was this supernatural thing happening called glossolalia in the Greek, but it's like it was happening and they knew something was happening, but they didn't know exactly what it was. And Peter, the one who had no courage to stand up to some little old girl or a few people in a private setting, all of the sudden stands up in front of thousands. And for every time Peter denied the Lord gave him back 3,000 souls, 1,000 plus for each time he denied him. So the legacy, what didn't look like take root, it did take root. And so it looked like the screw up. Some of y'all are screw ups. I'm not saying that to you. That's what the enemy has made you think. You are a screw up. You don't get it. You have been taught and taught and taught and taught, and it has not come through. And like, what are you doing with your life? What are you doing? You've walked with Jesus for, you know, those 3.5 years. You have been in church your whole life. And look at where you are now. This is you're Peter. And God is looking at you and saying, I left you a legacy. I know you are going to pick it up. I know you are going to pick it up. I know you are going to pick it up. And don't worry about those times that you missed. I will redeem those times. I'll redeem the time that you denied me. The second time you denied me. The third time you denied me. I will redeem it. And look at what happened. The power of God came upon him, and this guy who couldn't even stand up now is standing up, and he's giving this incredible monologue, this soliloquy, if you will, of the incredible story of Jesus Christ and the good news, and he serves them up the medicine and makes them smile. He's like, and by the way, I just want y'all to know, it's incredible good news. The guy I'm telling you about, y'all are the very ones that killed him. But here's the good news. He loves you in spite of it. You just fulfilled prophecy. You just helped him accomplish his mission. And that's what happened. So let me close this thing. Melissa, would you come? So why should I pray in tongues? Oh, Pastor Rife, I didn't know this was a sermon on that. Well, you hadn't been listening good. Why should I pray in tongues? Because Satan can't understand that. I don't think I have to go too deep into that. Satan, he can't understand that. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27, it says, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Holy Spirit, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's will. Let me tell you what that means in plain English if you didn't catch that. What he's saying right here is when we pray in the Spirit, Holy Spirit prays perfectly with us because he's in divine communion with Father, Son, and himself. He knows the will of the Father. He's there to execute the will of the Father. So when he prays, now I don't know if you ever prayed this, but I'm like, God, would you please kill that person? Now I'm that's a little tongue in cheek. That's a little tongue in cheek. I would never say that, but I'm like, if you just want to slap them around a little bit, Lord, I'm good with that. There have been times, man, I've prayed prayers that they're not pure. Yeah. I'm talking to the Creator, purity himself, but I'm praying out of hurt. I'm praying out of misunderstanding. I'm praying out of a lack of knowledge. I'm praying in a way that's not perfect. And it's muddled. And that's why in our prayers, it's like, God, here's my heart. And I'm telling you, I Psalm 139 myself daily. Yeah. If you've been around Destiny and Psalm 139, verse, I think it's 23, 24 says, search my heart, O God. Create in me a clean heart, a pure heart. Lord, if there's anything inside of me that is out of alignment with your will, Holy Spirit, point it out to me because I might be blind to it. I'm telling you, I pray that prayer. Literally, I pray that prayer. Not exactly like that, but it might be just a quick, God, if my heart's not in the right place, would you take scales off my eyes? If my heart's not in the right place, Lord, would you show me the truth? Because there are times when I don't see it, or I might be just too hurt in this situation, or it might be too personal for me. But when I pray in the Holy Spirit ain't got a problem with his feelings. Holy Spirit ain't, he doesn't hold any bitterness. He's purity, he's peace, he's love, he's comfort, he's all these things. So when Holy Spirit prays through me, Holy Spirit is praying. And we don't understand. It's a language we don't understand. That's why if you ever had to have an interpretation of it, you got to have somebody interpret it in whatever your native tongue is. Scripture, you read it, you heard me read it. We pray in the Spirit, and sometimes it's just groanings. It's wailings. I'm telling you, that's a deep level right there. Yeah. I've heard that just a few times in my life, some out of myself and some out of other people. And it's a groaning. It's a wailing. I'm telling you what, man, that's travail. That's what we call travail. It's like it's anguish. Holy Spirit's just praying through us. Satan can't understand any of that. When I pray, now this is, I used to walk in fear over this, and I'm like, well, I can't pray in English because the devil knows what I'm praying, you know? Yet he does. And there's demonic forces that are listening to our prayers. But I also is like, yeah, I don't even have to worry about it because greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. So I don't worry about the devil hearing my prayers. And when I need to pray in the Spirit, I'll pray in the Spirit. All right? So the second thing is this. Holy Spirit prays through us perfectly without bias. I just read you that scripture right there. All right? So this is the third thing. Our children need to know how to pray in the Spirit. Our kids need to know how to pray in the Spirit. I don't know where my kids are right now with this particular thing because I'm not part of their everyday prayer life and whatever. But my daughter was baptized in the Holy Spirit at the age of, what, 4, Shay? Wasn't it 4? And I'm telling you what, totally no coercion, no, she came seeking it. And we're like, okay, then do it. And because, now, some of y'all who are raised in a background that it's like, you can't do it unless people are around you going, fire, 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 you know, doing your head like this and, you know, pushing you down and all of that. Listen, I do not want, even though like it looks like what I was doing, I was saying that as a point. At the same time, there are times when we need to yell, fire, more. Father, and people need to be touched and slain in the Spirit. I'm not negating that at all. But what we've done in my tradition is we've equated all of that, that's how you have to receive the Holy Spirit. And it's so hard. It's so hard. It's so hard. My friend, it is extremely easy. As we sat in the bedroom of our upstairs house in Atlanta, Georgia, on Brushy Creek Drive, Savannah came seeking. And we're like, okay, baby, go. And she just began to speak in her little language. We didn't teach, show, like, I don't even know where she picked, like, I mean, you know, she must have heard us and Holy Spirit empowered her. And it's like, you know, she did her thing, and then she's boop, up, off playing with her dolls because she's still a kid, empowered by Holy Spirit. I want to leave that legacy. Our children, we need to normalize praying in the Spirit in our house. Some of you guys don't believe I can do that. That was Holy Spirit. Some of you guys don't believe that because you don't believe that you can pray just at any point. Who taught you that? Would you please go get the scripture, email it to me, and we're going to talk. Amy, here's a gift for you. All right, I'm proving my point. Here's a gift for you. Now, you can't use that except when I tell you to, when I want you to. Like, it doesn't matter if you want to use it. It doesn't even matter if you know how to use it. You can't. I'll let you know, okay? That's not a gift. That's not a gift. A gift is a gift. You take it. This is what you use it for. This is how you use it. Do with it what you want. All right? So she gets to use it when she wants, how she wants, as long as she operates in order. So I'm just telling you, man, if you have that wrong understanding, please break that off of yourself. I'll speak in tongues in a heartbeat in Walmart, at the gas station. I will preach, speak in tongues because it's a supernatural weapon that I have against the enemy. I'm telling you what, especially if I sense some demonic stuff, I'll blow up in some tongues in a heartbeat and won't care who's around. We need to normalize it. Our children need to hear us praying in the Spirit. All right? So say it with me. A legacy of power comes from being baptized in the Holy Spirit. You have power over any situation. What I want you to do today is I want you to strengthen yourself in the Holy Spirit. You are not weak. You are strong because the power, dunamis, dynamite power of the living God. I'm telling you what, hell fears you when you are baptized in Holy Spirit. Go read, I don't know where it's at in Acts. Anybody know where Seven Sons of Sceva is? Acts 22, I don't know, go figure it out. Those boys grew up in temple. They tried to cast a devil out, that devil whooped them up. Whooped them up. Tore their clothes off. Devil don't care if you come to church. He doesn't care if you're a greeter or the keyboardist. He does not even care if you are what churches call the pastor. He fears the power of God. The end. The end. So how do I apply this, Pastor Rife? Number one, receive the gift of Holy Spirit. You just receive it. You don't have to. He's not going to give it to you. He's already given it to you. It's laying on a counter somewhere in some store, metaphorically speaking. You just got to go get it. You just got to receive it. He's already given it. It's unclaimed if you haven't gotten it. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You can receive it in your shower. You can receive it in your car, on your lunch break, right before you go to bed, right here in this room, right now. Number two, practice speaking in tongues regularly, especially during times of warfare. Practice speaking in tongues. If you don't do it, it will always be weird to you. By the way, Scripture says speaking in tongues is weird. Like, here's the beautiful thing about God. He tells the truth. He's like, listen, man, I know it's weird. You don't understand my ways. My ways are higher than your ways. He doesn't say it's weird. This is how Scripture says it's mysterious. Common day vernacular, that's just weird. He knows it is weird. It's not normal. It's super normal, supernatural. Practice speaking in tongues regularly. That's why I'm just telling you, there are times where I don't even know I'm doing it, because I've done this for 35 years, man. I'll be walking through some place and I will catch myself speaking in tongues, and I'll be like, oh, I'm in the library. And I'm like, why was I doing that? Why was I doing that? Holy Spirit's just praying because something's going on. All right? Third thing is this. I think there's a third thing. Maybe there's not. Luke 11:11. This is what the Scripture says. You, fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Listen, you can't put in your mind. I'm telling you, some good old word of faith people taught me how to receive Holy Spirit. I received Him in Pentecostal, which was not the best environment for you to receive it, just because of the way they presented it. But I'm going to tell you, good old Willie George, Church on the Move, taught me how to teach people to receive Holy Spirit. He said, it's by faith. God has already given it to me. So if I ask the Father for my gift, is He going to give me something evil in return? Or is He going to go, all right, and then you begin to speak and He goes, no, man, I was just joking with you. That ain't it. I just wanted to see you look all crazy. That is not our God. This is how easy it is. Father, I receive my gift, and now I'm going to begin to pray in the Spirit. And whatever it sounds like. And if it doesn't sound like, oh, I didn't get that right, you just keep going. Whatever you say, it's God. Whatever you say, it's God. And it'll get easier and easier and easier. So if you're one of these people where it's like, oh man, I can't do that in front of people, then go out behind your shed. Go out and get your lawnmower. Crank it up and put your AirPods in or whatever, and people just think you're singing your favorite country song or something. But you're just riding around. Shandala makaya boko siti me. You know, you're just, and I promise you, if you promise, or if you practice, if you draw close to Him, draw close to Him, draw close to Him, He'll draw close to you. He's like, man, that's good. I'm fixing to be all over that. That's good. He's going to reward us for the effort. So let's leave. You go out, receive Holy Spirit right now. Stand to your feet. If you want to pray about anything after this, our prayer team is going to be down front. But right where you are, my prayer is that you would receive the Holy Spirit, because God wants us to live a powerful life. What if the church rose up and operated in the power and authority that He's already provided for us? Because right now, guys, it looks like the other team is operating in greater authority than we are. We know that's not true, but it looks like it. Come on, man. Let's operate in the power and the authority that He's given us. Holy Spirit, so in this place today, I've presented what I know of Your word as it pertains to being baptized in the Holy Spirit. God, You sent Your power on the day of Pentecost. You baptize the church. We are disciples, so we fold that over from generation to generation to generation to generation. And this very day, Holy Spirit, you are as real as you were on that day. Holy Spirit, you are as powerful today, and you do not diminish in any way. My prayer in this place today is if there are people in this room, and I'm sure there are, that they're still trying to figure this thing out, and they're not sure about some of the things that I've said. That Holy Spirit, the Apostle John tells us that you guide us into all truth. So what I'm saying today, if it's not true, then it's not truth. It's not your truth. But God, you can't lead us in a direction that's not true. So anybody in this room today that you may still be processing some of the things that I've shared with you, just follow Holy Spirit, because he can't lead you wrong. He will lead you into all truth. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I receive your Spirit into my life. My prayer is my friends and family here would receive the power of the Holy Spirit.